It's March, and that can mean only one thing. The madness is here. Not in front of a TV on game day? Listen to every round of NCAA March Madness live from Westwood One, free in the Odyssey app. Catch all the biggest moments of the tournament, no matter where you are. From Cinderella's,
a 15 seed will head to the Elite Eight,
to buzzer beaters,
Atkinson scores, 1.4 seconds left,
to champions,
for the fourth time.
Search for NCAA March Madness right here in the Odyssey app to get started.
Planning a wedding is intimidating, but finding the perfect suit shouldn't be. Design your dream suit at Indochino.com and use code PODCAST for 10% off any purchase of $399 or more. That's Indochino.com, code PODCAST.
Live from the palatial yet not overly ostentatious studios of CBS Sports Radio here in beautiful New York City, sitting on top of the 10th floor of 345 Hudson Street. Welcome on in to a Tuesday edition of the Zach Gelb Show across all the great local CBS Sports Radio affiliates, Sirius XM, Channel 158, and that free Odyssey app. 855-212-4CBS is the number to jump on in. 855-212-4227. You could always get at me on Instagram, where I'm straight flexing, or via the good old cesspool of Twitter, at Zach Gelb. So a whole lot to do today. Producing this extravaganza for the next 4 hours is no other than Hot Take Hickey.
His dumb producer, Hot Take Hickey.
Elijah Martin from the FAU Owls going to join us an hour 20 from now. Keith Ergo, the head men's basketball coach at Fordham, is going to stop by in studio at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific. A lot going on at the league meetings right now in terms of Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers. I saw the Charles Robinson report late last night that they're getting closer and it's 2 second-round picks and there could be some conditions on those picks depending on home field advantage in the playoffs. Do you have a home game division around? Do you get to an NFC title or AFC title game? Does Rodgers retire or not after this season? So they're still working on that, but it's such a bizarre situation because we know what the end result's going to be. The Packers are going to start Jordan Love this year, and Aaron Rodgers is going to be on the New York Jets. It's just how much longer do we have to drag our feet? Now, this is with no sourcing, but I would like to think that this gets wrapped up maybe by next week at the latest, but after you go through this entire song and dance, this is not something where anyone's going to actually think. And I know some people throw out there, oh, maybe the Jets should go pursue Lamar Jackson. Joe Douglas basically told you that that is not going to happen. So now it's all about the optics of the divorce and finalizing the divorce and getting the compensation done. And we'll see at how much longer of a snail's pace those things are going to move along and how quickly or slowly they will continue to develop. And you heard Brian Gutekunst the other day speak and him basically say that the Packers got ghosted by Aaron Rodgers and they reached out multiple times this offseason to his agency, his representatives, to him directly, and they never got a phone call back, and eventually they had to make their own decision what was in the best interest of the team. And, you know, Rodgers a few weeks ago on Pat McAfee's show was annoyed or claimed to be annoyed with the communication or lack of it by the Green Bay Packers. Personally, I do believe more Gutekunst than Rodgers on that front. And then we gave everyone a big piece of information yesterday that has gone viral, where I was told by a very reliable source that I trust greatly that Aaron Rodgers, Matt LaFleur the last few years would have game plan meetings, which is a very common practice to give Rodgers more of a say in the offense, especially when you have a quarterback of that caliber. And sometimes Rodgers would, well, do what he was expected to, show up to the meetings. Other times, he would leave Matt LaFleur at those meetings, and he would keep him guessing on if Aaron Rodgers was actually going to show up or not and eventually realize he was getting blown off for the meeting. LaFleur did address reporters today. Today was the day the NFC coaches did speak. It was a smart move by Matt LaFleur. Basically, just praise Aaron Rodgers out of the gate, and then you pretty much cut off any questions about Aaron Rodgers when you're just going to give the same response. So that's where we're at today, where, and I said this last night, and I will stand by it, this is going to get ugly. There is a lot that's going to come out. Even after the trade is completed and done, there will be a tell-all story, I guarantee you it, that will drop, and there's going to be a lot probably from both sides about really what was going on behind the scenes the last 3 years. And a lot of it was covered up by the fact that Aaron Rodgers, to his credit, did win back-to-back MVPs. But when you go down in the way that they did this year and you don't even make the playoffs, that gives you an out. And you know Gutekunst was going to go back to the original plan of replacing Aaron Rodgers and bringing in Jordan Love a year after giving him a contract extension. So I did think one thing that LaFleur said today was very interesting, where he said you pretty much have to temper the expectations for Jordan Love. And it got me thinking, what are the expectations for Jordan Love this year? Because there's obviously going to be a lot of attention. There is going to be, I don't want to compare it to Brady and Belichick because it's totally different, but when Brady left New England to go to Tampa Bay that year right afterwards, and there were times where Tampa did not look good that year. I know they ended up winning the Super Bowl in year number one of Tom Brady in Tampa Bay, as they were calling it, or now I guess do call it, when Brady was there. And there was a while where it'd be like 1 week, up, Brady needs Bill. And then other weeks, up, Bill needs Brady. And then other weeks, up, they both need one another. Well, what's going to happen now is Rodgers is going to what is perceived to be a win-now environment, even though the Jets don't have a great tradition and they've been a laughingstock and severely disappointing for the entire duration of their franchise, pretty much outside of Super Bowl III and those two AFC title games that they did go to with Rex Ryan and some other moments, brief moments in history. You look at this Jets roster, it was clear that the Jets are ready to win. Now, to what extent, that's a different conversation, but they're ready to make the playoffs. And the only reason they didn't make the playoffs last year is they just had ineptitude at the quarterback position. So bringing in Rodgers, even though Aaron Rodgers, the last 3-4 years, has come up just small on the biggest stage, whether the entire team didn't show up in San Francisco, in Santa Clara for that NFC title game, whether it was Brady basically trying to gift him the game in that second half in Lambeau Field, and Rodgers went three and out, down by five. The offense did stall. Even LaFleur did take him off the field, but they did stall when they were moving the ball down the field when they were down by eight. And then 2 years ago, up against San Francisco at Lambeau, outside of that first drive, that offense, I don't want to hear about the special teams problems in that game. That offense did absolutely nothing. You got to score more than one touchdown. So just because the Jets are getting Rodgers does not mean they're going to win a Super Bowl. It does not even mean that they'll be in an AFC title game. But you know that there's going to be excitement in New York, and you know that there are going to be high expectations, because even though nationally, I don't think the Jets are going to win a Super Bowl with Aaron Rodgers. I just don't see it. But the Jet fan will say, we are a quarterback away, and we're bringing in, whether you like him or not, one of the better quarterbacks in the NFL, and a guy, the moment when he retires, yes, you have to wait the 5 years, but he'll be enshrined in Canton, Ohio, in the Pro Football Hall of Fame on the first ballot. So the Jet fan, whether you want to say it's fair or not, or whether you believe it or not, the Jet fan is going to be saying Super Bowl or bust with Aaron Rodgers. As for Jordan Love, you got to remember, this is a team that last year they lost Devontae Adams. I know you have a good running back situation in Aaron Jones and A.J. Dillon, but at wide receivers, You're losing Alan Lazard. He's already off to the Jets. You look around, Christian Watson had a good second half of the season, and he's someone that I do think can be a number one wide receiver. But you look at the rest of that roster outside of the running backs and Christian Watson, it's not a roster that makes you say, ooh and ah. And honestly, the Packers, even though their division, it is improving, but the conference is not great. The defense in the run game is going, even though we're going to have all the attention around Jordan Love, the defense and the run game is going to be the two biggest things that need to work well for the Green Bay Packers if they want to find a way to make the postseason in 2023. Like right now, I can't sit here and tell you I expect the Green Bay Packers to make the postseason, but it's not impossible, because when you look at the NFC, your dominant teams are Philadelphia and the 49ers. And the 49ers basically said today, it's going to be really tough for Trey Lance to win that job. And maybe there's a hiccup in the recovery process of Brock Purdy, so maybe it is Trey Lance. But I know Brock Purdy was good down the stretch in the 6 to 8 games, whatever it was. I don't know what he's going to do over the entire course of the season. The only thing I know about San Francisco is it really doesn't matter who their quarterback's been the last few years. Their roster is that good where they're one of the elite teams in the NFC. But after that, like, Dallas is good, not great. Minnesota, good, not great. The Lions, improving. Are the Giants and Commanders going to take that next step? You know, the Bears, I like what they've done this offseason, but are they ready to go from 3 wins to being a playoff contender? In the NFC South, we'll see when the Panthers turn to their number one overall pick. I can't expect much out of Baker Mayfield in Tampa Bay. The Saints, yeah, they have Derek Carr. They should be a playoff team, but really not much more than that. Seattle, good spot. Is there regression with Geno Smith? The Rams, I don't expect much of them, even though they won a Super Bowl 2 years ago. Last year was a disaster. I think a lot of players there have 1 foot in, 1 foot out. And for the Cardinals, I don't even know when you could expect how late in the year that Kyler Murray got hurt, what the Cardinals are going to do this year. And you're bringing in a new GM in Monty Ossenfurt and a new head coach in Jonathan Gannon. So the NFC, it's open. It is not deep whatsoever. The Packers, who I know with Rodgers banged up last year, did get 8 wins, but now you're saying goodbye to Rodgers. I know, right, Green Bay went from Favre to Rodgers, one Hall of Famer, one Super Bowl champion to the next. I don't know what to expect, though, out of Love in year one. So I don't think the expectations, Hickey, are really in a spot where they need to be tempered. I don't personally. But you know each and every week, one of the storylines in the NFL season is going to be, what do the Jets do with Rodgers? And what do the Packers do with Jordan Love? And I will say this, I think the best endorsement so far, ironically, of Jordan Love actually came from Aaron Rodgers. Like, I know what Darius Slay said last year when he played that quarter. I know what Gutekunst has said. I know what LaFleur has said. But Rodgers, on McAfee, really saying that Love's going to be good, and he believes in Jordan Love, and Love's handled this as best as he could. It's nothing he asked for. He was just thrown into this situation, and you got to handle it like a professional. Some guys do, some guys don't. He has. But I think the best endorsement so far of Jordan Love is Aaron Rodgers, with what Rodgers did say on McAfee 2 weeks ago. So they were 8-9 last year. If they are 7-8 wins this year, I don't even care what the win total is. Like, yeah, you don't want it to be 3 or 4. I get that. At the end of the year, if you're a Packers fan, the expectations just be that you're still believing in Jordan Love, that you saw enough signs throughout the year that said, okay, that's his first year as a starter. Then going into year number two, I think we may have our guy. And if that's the case, if you're a Packers fan, I think you should be very, very happy. But Hickey, like, I can't sit here and say that the expectations are out of whack for the Green Bay Packers. Like, what? At the apex? If you're the most positive Packers fan in the world, you think maybe you could snag one of the wild card spots this year? And, like, with 9 wins or something like that? But I don't think anyone actually expects that in year number one with Jordan Love as the starter.
No, but I also get why Matt LaFleur is going on the offensive right now and trying to temper expectations because, again, the Packers are moving off of Aaron Rodgers. So that, subtly or not, implies a message that we think Jordan Love is going to be a better option for us going forward than Aaron Rodgers. And, again, they are the ones making the move. It's not Aaron Rodgers leaving them. It's, okay, now we'll go to Jordan Love because we don't have an option. They seemingly had the choice, Rodgers, Love, and they're picking Love. So some fans could say, well, that means they think Love is better than Rodgers, and you could have sky-high expectations. Also, again, I don't think it hurts when, like you said, if you see Aaron Rodgers go have success with the Jets.
Well, that's what they're saying, but that's not true.
Keep the expectations low. It's always better to under-promise and over-deliver rather than over-promise and under-deliver. And that, I think, is what Matt LaFleur is doing, keeping the bar low right now, especially for year one with Jordan Love.
I guess from what you're saying, yes, the Packers did choose heading into this year Love over Rodgers, but Rodgers wasn't coming back either way. Rodgers didn't want to be there anymore. He said it on McAfee when A.J. Hawk asked him the question.
I mean, he made it seem like the Packers weren't showing him love. If that was different, if they were, you know, according to him, and again, you got to take what he says with a grain of salt, if he's right that maybe he didn't get this vibe from the Packers that they were all in on him, maybe things are different. Maybe he's back next year. He did sign a 3-year extension last year, so it's good thing that he wanted to stay there for his whole career. It doesn't seem like, I think a lot of his anger right now is that he's leaving, not that, you know, I don't think he's running free out of the door. I think he wanted to stay if he had a choice.
Well, here's what I would just say to that. If he wanted to stay, then maybe he should have called back the Packers. Even if he got the vibe that the Packers didn't want him, you be a professional and you call back when your general manager is either reaching out to you or your representatives, or you don't leave your coach at a meeting that he set up to give you more input, guessing if you're going to actually show up or not. So I'm not saying that the Packers are fully exonerated from any wrongdoing here. They have a part in this divorce, and so does Aaron Rodgers. But this idea that Aaron Rodgers actually wanted to go back this year, at first I would have believed it, but then with what you have heard and what I said yesterday and the Gutekunst said that he's reached out, he clearly didn't want to go back there. And that could be Rodgers, that he just got this sense they don't want me anymore. And maybe part of that's true. But until they say, hey, we're going to trade you, which they didn't say directly at the end of the season, take the phone call. And the fact that Rodgers never returned the phone call kind of makes me lose, I don't want to say any trust, but give him any of the benefit of the doubt is the right way to say it. That, yeah, he actually wanted to go back to Green Bay for this upcoming season.
I'm excited to get to use this line. You use it at me a lot. You, Zach, are working in reality. You, sir, are working in competency. It makes a lot of sense what you're saying. We're talking about Aaron Rodgers. That makes no sense. You are thinking in logic of, if you wanted to stay, call back. If you wanted to stay, how about show up to a meeting with your head coach about offensive game planning?
Well, that's information
and
I was
you
told.
Care. But it's like he's doing everything to give off a vibe that he doesn't want to be there, doesn't really care. And again, the Packers give it to him back or not, it doesn't matter. But he has done nothing to show his willingness to stay. You are talking in logic. It makes a lot of sense what you're saying. If you wanted to stay, show signs of staying. But we are talking about Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, and just because he signed a 3-year extension last year did not mean he was going to finish his career with the Green Bay Packers, because they still drafted Jordan Love. The Packers just knew they could not get rid of him after winning back-to-back MVPs. And on the Aaron Rodgers side, I don't think it would have looked good for him if he wanted to leave after the back-to-back MVP years where they did come up short 2 times in the playoffs. He was like, yeah, I'm going to leave after 2 bad moments in the postseason. The regression, the injury this year, the team missing the playoffs, I think it allowed both sides to realize, yeah, it's time to move on. And that's what I think really did happen. Now, who was professional, who wasn't, who was more professional, who wasn't, that's a totally different conversation. Anyway, this is Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. We'll take a break. So Matt LaFleur is saying temper those expectations on Jordan Love. Well, we have some expectations for some other players when we come on back. Hickey has created a list, and he'll ask me what my expectations are for a few players when we return in 5.
You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show.
So this is from Charles Robinson, who I do have to apologize to Charles Robinson, Hickey, because every time I see the name Charles Robinson, and he's like an actual reporter, for whatever the reasons are with the way that my brain is wired, and I guess it's because it's not an actual profile picture of himself, so maybe that's where the confusion comes from. And I'll say this, I've never seen a photo or video of Charles Robinson until he started going on with McAfee. So it was always like someone that would write and have information, and I would see him on my Twitter feed, like his news and all that, but I would never see his actual face. So the guy that I always confuse him with, and I apologize for doing this because this guy just transcribes what people put out there and just repost it, is Dove Kleiman, who actually down the hall, Boomer and Geo, what was it, like 2 weeks ago? Where they were like, who the heck is this guy? And then I want to say it was Ryan Glasspiegel from the New York Post, who does a good job covering the entire announcing world. He actually got in contact with Dove Kleiman, and Dove lives in Israel, which I didn't know about. You didn't read that article?
No.
Yeah, he lives in Israel. And the time zone difference and all that.
I was going to say.
This guy doesn't sleep.
What time? Did he say the difference is? Is it like 6 hours ahead?
I think it's 6 or 7 in Israel. Watch. Let's do this right now. Time in Israel.
Like, I give him credit.
1:25 a.m. right now. So 7 hours.
Does he make money? Do they discuss what the purpose is?
Well, he says he wants to be kind of low key. Now you have a Instagram account or a Twitter account of 100,000 something followers, and he just is a big NFL fan. And I didn't. He's worked for a few different publications. Now he works for Bro Bible.
So he is based in Israel.
Yeah,
6 hour difference ahead, and he just reposts.
He doesn't sleep.
Wow.
Yeah. So this is on the New York Post, and it's from Ryan Glassbeagle. Who's Dov Kleiman solving sports media's biggest mystery? And there's two photos of him. Looks like a regular guy, and he provided two photos. It was like kind of weird. It was like selfies with like his phone he must have just sent him. But the entire NFL world does follow him. I've had one conversation with him on a Twitter DM. I had something. This was right around the Super Bowl, and he just like DM'd me asking me a question about it. And then I don't even know if he even posted it or anything like that. But yeah, he lives in Israel. Who would have ever thought that? I would have thought like big football fan in America. I don't know if he's from Israel, but that's where he lives now. And that's kind of crazy. I actually give him credit that he's able to get all this stuff, even though it's just reposting information, out there in a timely fashion when you're 7 hours in front of us.
He gets it, like, to a point where it's, like, 2 minutes. Like, Rappaport, the tweet, boom, and he's right there. Whatever tweet it is, at Ian Rappaport reporting it. I'll give him credit in that aspect. He is on top, like I said.
How old do you think he is? You have to take a guess.
I would guess, like, 54.
Early 30s. He's in his early 30s
really?
Living in Israel. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, I would have guessed, like, an older man.
Now, I'm surprised, because usually, I don't think you're a man of hatred or like disdain, but there's certain people that really rub you the wrong way or grinds the gears of Hot Take Hickey. And I have noticed that you've been very annoyed. Like, you know, when you said bleep that guy on the air and you dropped the F-bomb when talking about Russell Westbrook, like you can't forget about that moment in your radio career. I feel like if you were to curse, it wouldn't surprise me if you were cursing about Dov Kleiman.
So it's weird. Dov, I don't know him. I've never talked to him.
Obviously.
I used to hate him, to be honest. I thought he was a fraud
insider. And now you
respect
him.
Not even that. I've noticed he's very useful because I see if I miss anything, he is someone who is an aggregator that literally reposts every story. So there are plenty of stories throughout the day of people are tweeting it an hour ago. I don't see it. He's there kind of picking it up.
Yeah.
I thought for a while he tried to go off as an insider that he knew sources.
No, and he gives everyone credit.
Now, well, yes, I don't, like a few years ago, I don't think he was as
on top of it.
As willing to give out credit as he is now. This was like 5 or 6 years ago. This was a while ago. Now I see him more as a resource than a reason
I'm sorry.
Of hatred.
I don't know if that is true or not. I just have to take when you sometimes don't like someone with what you say with the grain of salt because you were the same person a few weeks ago where you're like, Coach K's been at every Duke game this year because you can't stand Coach K. And I'm like, actually, you're wrong on that one. So I don't know a few years ago of the sighting.
Listen,
of Dov Kleiman.
I do not want to give the name out because he is a much more important musician than I do.
Ooh.
But someone who used to work here.
Here?
Yes. Me and him were in agreement on our hatred of Dov Kleiman.
Oh, I know who this is.
Because we both thought the same thing. He was a fraud insider that was trying to pose like an insider. He was not an insider.
I think this is very obvious. This is a host?
No.
Oh, not a host?
Not a host.
I was going to guess Ken Carmen.
No.
Because you and Ken are pretty tight.
This
behind the scenes person? Oh.
It is behind the scenes.
But has got a big promotion?
That is correct.
Okay. I know who that is.
We mutually
for a big, big show here on CBS Sports
did
Radio.
Did not like Dove for the same reason. So again, I was misinformed on Coach K. This I feel pretty good about 5 or 6 years ago saying this guy tried to pose as an insider. Now he's more of an aggregator. And again, I have come around.
Because
he's
you're
resource.
Lazy.
Well, no, he just Twitter.
When you miss things,
I am not on Twitter 24/7, nor should anyone be. He is a nice resource that if you miss anything, he's there to pick it up. So again, he is more beneficial to me in my life than he was 5 or 6 years ago.
So you've done a 180.
I have done a 180 on Dover. I'm now neutral.
Okay. Well, anyway, this Charles Robinson report, who is not Dove Kleiman, the sources characterize the Rodgers deal to the Jets with the Packers a deal as getting closer, despite stiff negotiations over how those picks would stack up and whether the package would include give-back protections for the Jets if Rodgers does not play beyond the 2023 season. As it stands, talks are focused on the Jets dealing two picks for the Packers quarterback, one second-round pick in next month's NFL draft, and another second-rounder in 2024 that could graduate to a first-round pick with achievable team performance escalators. An example of such of an escalator would be if the Jets were to host a home divisional playoff game or advance to the AFC Championship game. A sticking point in the talks is the Jets seeking an element of protection built into the trade, specifically one that sends some 2025 draft compensation to New York from Green Bay if Rodgers does not play in 2024 and beyond. Now, you asked me this last week, are the Packers going to get an outright one for Aaron Rodgers? And that was an onside, offside question. And I said offside. I said it's probably going to be a two that could turn into a one. Now with this information, it may be two twos where one of them could turn into a one. And Hickey, you know my biggest takeaway from this is? And I think that's a fine return. It is what it is for a player that's 39 years old. And there's really not much leverage on either side because the Packers don't want Rodgers back anymore. And this is the Jets' only option at this point because they're two in deep already when you get to these negotiations. And they've already told their entire fan base, you're basically getting Aaron Rodgers. And maybe this is just being prudent on the Jets' part of it. But the fact that they need to have stipulations in if Rodgers does not play in 2024 and beyond shows you a little bit that there is some doubt on the Jets side of things on how invested Aaron Rodgers is into his football future.
I know you don't believe him when he said this. I do when he was 90% towards the time and going into the darkness cave. So if you're the Jets and you are now all in on this guy, yeah, you need some sort of collateral. You need some sort of insurance because there's no guarantee outside of 2023 that Aaron Rodgers is going to be on your team. Now, if on the Packers, I would say buyer's remorse or buyer beware, maybe that's a better phrase to use. Not our problem. Like, he could be there. He could not. That's up to you to, or, you know, you to worry about, not us. But yeah, if you're the Jets, that's a real risk of outside of 2023. There is no guarantee whatsoever of Rodgers where he'll be, if he'll be playing.
So it just seems like from this report that they're in agreement that it's a second round pick, and they just got another second round pick in the Elijah Moore trade with the Browns. It's a second round pick this year, this upcoming draft. It is then the next pick that it's okay, let's figure out how you could get it to a one, what are the escalators in there, and then what are the protections, and what would we get back if Rodgers, after 1 year or 2 years, says, guys, I'm done, I'm retiring from the NFL. This feels like you're in the red zone. I would say that. You're in the red zone. It's probably second and goal, and I would hope by the end of next week that this thing does get wrapped up. Let me take one phone call real quickly, 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. Let's go to Sean in Charlotte, first up on the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. Sean, what's happening?
Hey, what's going on, Zach? Quick question. I want to know why the sports media in general or people in general think that the Packers have to trade Aaron Rodgers to the Jets. I mean, as many lies as he's told and tried to make them look bad, why do they have to trade him to somewhere where he wants to go? He doesn't have a no-trade clause.
No, but then he could just say, I'm going to retire. And he could say, and then a team would say, okay, we're not going to trade for him if he's going to threaten retirement.
But they don't want him in Green Bay anyway. So, what difference does it make? Let him go retire. Why should I trade you to where you want to go?
But Sean, if he's going to say he's going to retire, no one's going to then trade for him. Like, let's just say, if they go, okay, we're going to send you, I'm just throwing a random team out there. I know the Panthers just traded up for the number one pick, so it wouldn't happen. We're going to send you to Carolina, and he tells Carolina, guys, I'm not going to play for you. I'm going to retire. Carolina's not going to give up any assets or any resources, no matter how slim it would be, if Rodgers is just going to retire. They would not do that. So you don't need a no-trade clause to have leverage when you're a player of the caliber of Aaron Rodgers, and it doesn't benefit in whatever the return that the Packers are going to get to not work on a destination that wants Aaron Rodgers and Rodgers wants to go to him as well. You know, go to as well. So we'll take a break here on the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. We'll come on back. The Packers are saying temper those expectations on Jordan Love. What are expectations from some other players around the NFL?
Planning a wedding can be intimidating, but finding the perfect suit shouldn't be. Indochino makes it easy to get a custom suit right from home. Fine-tune every detail and design a suit tailored perfectly to your body and your personality, starting at just $499. Get a wedding suit as unique as you with Indochino. Go to Indochino.com and use code PODCAST to get 10% off any purchase of $399 or more. That's Indochino.com, promo code PODCAST.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show.
Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio. Did you see who showed up to the meetings today, league meetings today?
Was it an unexpected visitor?
Yes.
Daniel Snyder?
No.
Oh, then I don't know.
You didn't see this?
No.
You didn't see what player in the NFL, I guess you could still say, showed up today?
You could still say.
Mm-hmm. Did not play last year for anybody, but is in the news.
Cam Newton?
Nope. He's still recovering, I guess, from the Auburn Pro Day.
That was really funny. I have no idea then. Did not play last year.
Luckily for him, he did not have to fly there because he trains there, from what I read. If he had to fly, it could have been an issue because the last time we knew that he was on a plane, not the last time he was on a plane, but the last time we knew he was on a plane, there was an issue.
There was an issue the last time he was on the plane.
How do you not know
this? He lives there.
Big name. Big star.
No.
No. What issue was T.J. Watt on a plane?
So J.J. Watt.
Oh, you said J.J. Watt. I don't think there was any issue with J.J. Watt.
Well, I know he had a heart thing, but I don't think that was because of a plane.
Yeah. What?
I have no idea. He lives in Arizona. I don't. A Cardinal. I mean, Kyler Murray's.
Odell Beckham Jr. He showed up to the meetings today.
Oh, he lives in Arizona? I didn't know that.
I did not know that he lived in Arizona. I read that he trains in Arizona. I don't know if he's there full time. I always thought it was Florida, but that was from some of the articles today. Who do you think is the first person that he saw when he walked in?
Brian Daboll.
Nope. Daboll did say he's texted a few times, though, this offseason with Odell Beckham, and he'll keep those conversations private.
Sean McVay.
Nope.
Jerry Jones.
Nope.
Oh.
This one you'll never guess. And they actually had a hug.
They had a hug. Roger Goodell.
No.
Well, you said never guess, and now I'm going to, like, you know, the
They
exterior.
Had a hug, and it probably shows that it wasn't this guy's fault.
Baker Mayfield. Kevin Stefanski.
Thank you. Baker Mayfield at the league meetings. Tell that guy to go home. He wouldn't be allowed in. Yeah, so Odell shows up, has a hug with Stefanski, nice little embrace. And where was he seen? In a little corner? Hugging Robert Saleh, standing right next to Robert Saleh, Joe Douglas. So Odell Beckham, long hug with Robert Saleh. And then Joe Douglas standing right adjacent to both of them.
Who showed more affection for who? Josh McCown to C.J. Stroud after the pro day?
Oh, Saleh.
Or Saleh towards OBJ? Wow, really?
Saleh looks like he's holding on to one of his kids right now.
Like McCown was
holding
all over
on.
Stroud.
Please don't go to college. Please don't go to college. Stay home. I don't want you to leave the nest. That's what it looks like for Robert Saleh in this photo that I see. Grinning. As he has both hands wrapped around him, holding on to Odell, like, please, 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 come to New York. Come back to New York. Come back to MetLife Stadium. We want you.
Was it an embrace of, please, we want you, come here? Or is it, hey, I can't wait till this is official and we are now officially coworkers?
That I don't know. So it was, they were standing next to flowers. And it was a photo that I saw from one of my favorites in Trollin' Volin, Ben Volin. And it was the video of Stefanski. So you don't, it's just a photo of Odell with Saleh. You don't hear any of the conversation. And it looks like they're in kind of a secluded area where it's probably just Jet personnel or just NFL personnel. And the media probably can just see from, like, afar.
All right.
Odell's going to the Jets. You don't think so?
No, I think so.
Okay.
Feels like it's done. I feel like every other team is bowed out for the most part.
What Aaron wants, Aaron will get. We all know that's going to be the case. The Jets are now like the new Brooklyn Nets, right? The Brooklyn Nets of old.
Yeah, that's a great comparison you want to be hearing if you're a Jets fan.
Yeah.
And you as a Nets fan, I mean, look, do you regret what happened the last four and a half years?
Loose Nets fan. Now, I did grow up as a big Jason Kidd fan, Kerry Kittles, Kenyon Martin,
did get a Fear
Keith
the
Van
Beard
Horn.
Nets t-shirt.
I did have a Fear the Beard t-shirt, and I do have an Uncle Drew shirt as well, which now I use to wipe the floors of my apartment with.
Hey, you need a mop somewhere, right?
Yeah, I like that Fear the Beard shirt, too.
Short-lived.
Oh, very.
You know, you only had a short time you had that shirt, man.
If you blinked, you could miss it.
Not even a year in there.
Yeah. It's not even like old enough yet to donate to charity.
I think the tag's still on it.
Yeah. So, I don't regret what the Nets did because you have to take a shot, and they're pretty much in the same spot where they were now, where they were before KD and Kyrie. They took a shot, and obviously it did not work. As the Jets have to take this shot as well. Because they need a quarterback, and Rodgers was willing to go there. So you got to do what you got to do when you're a desperate organization.
A lot of similarities so far. A lot of drama heading towards the tri-state area.
Yeah, I just don't think Rodgers will. I'm not saying it's going to be a super-duper success. I just don't think it will ever bottom out like it did in Brooklyn. Like that.
It's a deep AFC. Is getting to the playoffs just enough for the Jets and Aaron Rodgers?
Well, not to the Jet fan, but that's my expectation for them. By the way, you have expectations. Let's stop teasing this and get to it. You have players. Give me the player. I'll give you my expectations on the day where Matt LaFleur is like, temper those expectations. Simmer down those expectations when it comes to Jordan Love.
Let's start with the man we just talked about. Aaron Rodgers, 2023 expectations, Jets.
Jets make the playoffs. And I think they got to win a playoff game, too. But it's my personal expectations. Yeah, make the playoffs and win a playoff game. That's the most they could go.
How about Baker Mayfield with the Bucks?
Make it to the end of the season if you're Baker as a starter? I have no expectations for Baker Mayfield.
All right. How about Tua Tagovailoa with the Dolphins?
Let me tell you, the Bucks are one of those teams that you still believe in. That's a sense that I get. You keep on throwing out the Bucks everywhere we go.
I think they're a borderline playoff team. I think they're in the mix.
I like Mike Evans. I like Chris Godwin. But that roster really got stripped of a lot in the last 2 years. Who's the player that you just said?
Tua?
You got to make it through an entire season healthy. And you got to go win a playoff game. Because that team almost won a playoff game with Skylar Thompson last year in Buffalo. So you got to make it through an entire season, make the playoffs, and go win a playoff game.
Here's the tough one. Lamar Jackson.
What team?
That's part of it.
Like, I can't have any expectations for Lamar right now just because I don't know where he's going to go. But whether, like, I'll say this. If it's on a new team, you got to make the playoffs and make it through the entire season. If he's on the Ravens, you got to make the playoffs and make it through an entire season.
So same expectations.
Yeah, same expectations.
Okay. All right, Ravens are now, not same expectations.
Now, hold up, like, that's without knowing who the new team is. If he gets traded to a team in the NFC, like if he gets traded to the Vikings, the expectation is to go win a Super Bowl. If he gets traded to the Lions, it's go win a Super Bowl. But without knowing the team, it makes it difficult.
How about Russell Wilson?
I don't think he will make the playoffs, but he better make the playoffs. That bar is so low for Russ. I've never seen where a guy was the hot commodity, the top commodity on the market that was available. And then a year later, like, no one has anything positive to say about it.
How about the opposite? No one had anything positive to say about him up until this year. That is Geno Smith. Really good 2022, 2023 expectations.
Win a playoff game.
How about Kenny Pickett coming off a solid rookie year?
Make the playoffs. I actually think the Steelers are a dark horse team to go make the playoffs. I think the Steelers have a good team. I like their defense. Their defense wasn't even great last year. And TJ Watt had to deal with a bunch of injuries. Pickett impressed me. You have George Pickens as well. I like Freiermuth a lot. I think that's a team that can make the playoffs this year.
Two more. How about Jared Goff?
Win the division. They should win that division. Like, Minnesota, some people say they're fraudulent. Scott in California, probably on line one right now to debate that.
He heard the F word.
Packers, I can't really expect much with Jordan Love as your quarterback, and I like what the Bears have done this offseason, but I don't think they're ready to go make the playoffs, so Lions go win the division.
And finally, coming off a year in which he finished second in the MVP and made it to the Super Bowl, how about Jalen Hurts?
Win the Super Bowl. You have a window for at least 2 years where the NFC is not going to have a lot of top-heavy teams. He was phenomenal last year. I believe he can repeat in his individual success. I know the Eagles have had some changes to the roster. They lose Miles Sanders. They kept a lot of pieces on defense. I know they lose those C.J. Gardner-Johnson. You have a quarterback like Jalen Hurts with A.J. Brown, Dallas Goedert, who is really good, and Devontae Smith. You have more than enough to go win a Super Bowl. And you almost did this year. And it wasn't his fault. I know you had the one fumble that went for a score, but he outplayed Mahomes in the Super Bowl. His defense couldn't make a stop to save their lives. So my expectation of Jalen Hurts is to go make a Super Bowl this year and go win it and finish the job where they came up short in the second half last year. All righty, Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio. We'll take a break. We'll do a little overreaction, proper reaction, off-season edition when we come on back. And still to come 25 minutes from now from the FAU basketball team off to the Final Four, Elijah Martin will join us. And at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, so in about an hour and change, Keith Ergo, who had a really good season his first year as the head coach of Fordham, he's going to be stopping by, joining us in studio as well. Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio. Follow us Twitter and Instagram at Zach Gelb, Z-A-C-H-G-E-L-B.